Down she goes.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Moody's says the fallout is affecting Berkshire Hathaway, enough so that the credit reporting agency has taken billionaire Warren Buffett's company down a couple notches from its top AAA rating. Marketplace's Steve Henn joins us now from Washington. Steve, was this a surprise?
You know, not really. About a month ago, Fitch, another rating agency, cut Berkshire's credit rating, and S&P has signaled that it's likely to do the same pretty soon. But there's some ironies here. You know, Berkshire Hathaway owns about 20% of Moody's, and a lot of folks blame Moody's and other credit rating agencies for getting us into this mess. You know, they rated mortgage-backed securities really highly during the boom, and a lot of folks say, in retrospect, that was a huge mistake. The other thing that's kind of fascinating is Warren Buffett famously called derivatives weapons of mass financial destruction a couple of years ago. What's gotten him into trouble in the last few months, though, is a big book of derivatives contracts that have lost a lot of money.
So, Steve, then, how do you think this is going to affect Berkshire Hathaway as a business?
Well, it will make it a little bit more expensive for Berkshire to borrow money. And there's also some risk, if its ratings are cut again, that it could hurt its insurance businesses. You know, Berkshire owns a big swath of diverse businesses, from Geico to Fruit of the Loom, but it makes a lot of money from insurance. And as we've seen before, when insurance companies' credit ratings suffer, that can be really bad news.
So should we then be worried about the business, about the future of Berkshire Hathaway?
You know, probably not. Berkshire has huge, enormous cash reserves, more than $24 billion at the end of last year. You know, it's not immune from the current crisis, but it's clearly in very good shape. One concern that some of these rating agencies have raised, though, is about the future of the leadership within the company. You know, Warren Buffett's 78 years old, and there's no clear successor at Berkshire, and there's no obvious choice of who's going to replace him when he retires.
All right. Marketplace's Steve Henn joining us from Washington. Steve, thank you.
Sure thing.
There is some buying going on in world markets. The Dow gained more than 0.5% yesterday, 47 points, closed at 7837. S&P shares were up more than 1%. The NASDAQ closed higher by nearly 2%. Asian markets rallied to close higher, 3 and 4% for Hong Kong and Japan. The Nikkei rally was fueled by news that the Japanese are working on a new stimulus package that totals more than $150 billion. That's more than an earlier plan. European shares are slightly higher at this hour. The FTSE is basically flat, just like the main interest rate over at the Bank of England. The central bank there announced today it is holding its rate steady at 0.5%. Bank shares are down in Ireland today on growing fears about the state of the Irish economy. Earlier this week, Dublin unveiled a second emergency budget to deal with the deepening crisis there. From our European desk, Stephen Beard reports.
Once hailed as the Celtic Tiger, Ireland today looks more like a mangy cat. The economy is shriveling. GDP could fall by more than 10%. Unemployment has soared well into double digits. The government's finances have collapsed. Revenues from the once booming real estate market have dried up. The budget deficit is widening dangerously. Graham Mather is with the European Policy Forum. He says the Dublin government took an extraordinary measure in its budget this week. It raised taxes. It had little choice.
No one wants to put up taxes while you're trying to stimulate an economy out of recession. But if the budget gap gets too big, and it has in Ireland, then international confidence is lost and you need to close that gap urgently.
He says the biggest fear is that Ireland may default on its debts and will have to be bailed out by the IMF. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Henry Luce Foundation, seeking to increase American understanding of East and Southeast Asia. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
The Treasury Department's poured a lot of money into banks to jumpstart the American housing market. But some of those financials seem to be jumping on a different bandwagon. They're refusing to lend to certain condo complexes, regardless of a buyer's credit history. It is a trend that's slowly spreading across the country. From WLRN in Miami, here's Marketplace's Dan Gretsch.
The names on the Bank United blacklist evoke an era when buying a condo was like minting money. The Jade, Sunset Harbor, Quantum on the Bay. In all, 191 complexes made the list, because they're saturated with speculators or prices are in free fall. Most of the condos are in Miami. Bank United declined to comment on its non-permissible projects list. Donna Berger is executive director of the Community Advocacy Network. She says properties on the list are essentially untouchable.
If Mrs. Smith goes to sell her unit, she's now going to have a problem with her potential purchaser in finding a lender who's going to make a loan in that unit in that community. She's stuck.
Analysts say other banks are drawing up similar blacklists on projects in Nevada, Michigan, and California, though the lists are rarely made public. The problem is compounded by tough new lending standards enacted last month by government-backed Fannie Mae. Before Fannie will write a mortgage in any new condo building anywhere in the U.S., 70% of units should be sold. It used to be just 51%. Analysts say one in four condo buildings in South Florida could be shut out of financing from Fannie and other lenders that take Fannie's lead.
When a lender won't lend in a building, that's basically the death of the building.
That's Jeremy Resnick. He's with Upside Down Florida, a firm that helps people who owe more than their home is worth.
If no one can get financing, no one can buy the available units, eventually those units go into foreclosure. When multiple units go into foreclosure, homeowners association fees aren't being paid, so the common areas don't get kept up. The cable gets cut off. The electricity gets cut off. It's a spiral that goes out of control.
Experts say with blacklists, banks are trying to turn back the clock on their loose lending practices. But they can't erase the dozens of gleaming condo towers that have emerged over the past decade, or the thousands of people who staked their fortunes on a piece of real estate in the sky. In Miami, I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Hope you can check us out on the web. Our scratch pad with online host and blogger Scott Jagow inside Marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Have a great day.
American Public Media.